Welcome back to the Killer Frogs Killer Minute, a Fan Nation college football podcast brought to you weekly by KillerFrogs.com. I'm Brett Gibbons, and today I am joined by a new face. Not a new face to me, but a new face to everybody watching slash listening, Davis Wilson. Davis, what is going on, man? Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Brett. I am very excited to join. Very excited.
Good. I think you are the perfect person to have on for our topic today, which we'll get into. But before we get into it, let everyone know listening kind of who you are. What is your TCU background? Kind of, you know, how did you get to be a Killer Frogs today?
Sure. So I've kind of been a TCU fan my whole life. My dad went to TCU, so I grew up rooting for the Frogs every Saturday. And I'm going to school at Mizzou. And so, you know, I'm doing some writing there, and I wanted to kind of continue covering TCU, continue to watch TCU stuff. And so I hit up Killer Frogs and got an opportunity to write for them and do some podcasting for them. And it's been really great.
Terrific. And today's topic, we are talking about preview magazines. I have my big stack of preview magazines here. I love preview magazine season. It kind of rings in the, you know, it kind of ushers out the old season and brings in college football for sure. Even if it's early June or mid-June or whatever, I get really excited whenever one of these pops in my mail. I know they're outdated. I know people are like, hey, it's print magazine, so it's kind of outdated. But I love them so much. I really do. And can you tell everybody why you are the ideal person to bring on for preview magazine season?
Yeah, so last summer I was lucky enough to intern with Dave Campbell's Texas Football. So I got to kind of see the process of the magazine. I got to do some writing for their website. So I'm familiar with Dave Campbell. I love being there, and I think they're really great.
Yes, I agree. This is the first time, actually, that I bought the magazine. Funny enough, it's also the first time, second football season I've lived outside the state of Texas in a little while. So it's kind of funny. You know, I really want it, though. Crack it open. It's terrific. I love it. I love high school football, especially in the state of Texas. And last thing before we get into our topic for today, you also do some work behind the mic for us. Can you just do a really quick plug for everybody listening?
Yeah, sure. I do the Killer Minute at Killer Frogs, and I did that, I guess, starting kind of last February, and did a bunch of the basketball season, did some baseball stuff. And coming up pretty soon, I'm going to kind of start a basketball-focused podcast for Killer Frogs. So everybody be on the lookout for that. I'm excited to get that organized and get that going.
Yes, please do. He's terrific. Seriously, I love his stuff. So that's why I want to have you on. Really excited. Let's get into it. Let's talk preview magazines. And first, I want to talk about the general outlook of TCU. The three that I held up here, the three that I have this year, I have Athlon Sports, I have Phil Steele and Dave Campbell's Texas Football. I don't have Lindy's, so if anybody's looking at that, I'm sorry. Did not purchase that one this year. Maybe next year. But let's start with Athlon Sports. This is the first one I get in the mail every year. They're usually the first one to print with it. So let's start with them. They have TCU at 8-4, 5-4 in the Big 12, and finishing fourth in the conference. A couple of quotes here that I pulled from them. In the write-up, they said, offensively, it all comes down to how good Chandler Morris can be. What are your thoughts on that? He's the quarterback, so of course, if he's good, the offense is going to click, and if he's bad, the offense probably won't. But is that the general consensus?
Right. I mean, obviously, he is the quarterback, and that's what makes the offense go, but I do think it's worth mentioning the amount of talent they were able to bring in from the transfer portal. You know, guys, I mean, they really revamped their receiving core after losing Quentin Johnston. They brought in JoJo Earl and JP Richardson from Oklahoma State. And then also guys like Trey Sanders, who will come in and help replace Kendre Miller. So I think that, you know, there will be a lot that depends on how Chandler Morris can perform, but I do think that this offense has a lot of really exciting weapons. And, you know, especially I wanted to talk about the offensive line. I think that's a position that is going to continue to get better. They have some veteran presence there. A couple transfers came in there. So yeah, I'm excited for the offense. I do think Chandler Morris is, you know, we'll see about Chandler Morris, but I do think the offense can be good, whether or not he's outstanding.
Yeah, I'm with you. He doesn't need to go to last year's Max Duggan levels for this offense to click. I really don't think so. I think he can be serviceable as long as he's not turning the ball over like crazy. I think the offense is going to be able to click and move. Like you said, that offensive line should be pretty darn good, even though they lost Steve Avila and a couple of other guys, Alan Ali, those guys up front. I still think they're pretty good. I like Tommy Brockermeyer that they brought in through the portal. Should be a strong unit. But from the offensive line to the defensive line, whoever did the write-up here, I'm sorry I didn't look up their name for Athlon Sports, had some concerns about the defensive line. They said the biggest concern defensively, it's a green defensive front. If TCU cannot generate pressure, it'll only expose the secondary more. I don't love the word expose here. They're talking expose like TCU's fielding Kansas's defense or Washington's secondary, or you know, those kind of units that were consistently burned. But really, this is one of the more experienced units in terms of returning starters. Plus they rise Josh Newton, who is an all Big 12 selection, all America candidate possibly this year. Do you think that's a little bit harsh? I know if you don't have pressure up front, the secondary is not going to do great, but is exposed really the right word there?
I absolutely agree with you. I think there's a lot of exciting positions offensively for TCU, but I would say the position group I'm most excited to watch this year for the Frogs is the secondary, just because of, like you said, Josh Newton had a great year last year, a lot of hype going into this year. And then guys like Mark Perry and Bud Clark, Abe Kamara, all guys who played a lot last year. And then you're even adding guys like Avery Helm from Florida. So yeah, I think expose is definitely a harsh word. A lot does depend defensively on the defensive line, but I do think that the secondary for TCU is maybe the best position that they have.
Yeah, I'm with you. And a lot of other preview magazines that we'll get into ranks TCU secondary the best in the conference. So I don't know if this was maybe just like a throwaway line or an oversight. Maybe I'm nitpicking a little bit too much. I write and edit it, you know, for a profession as well. So I notice things like this. But saying expose the secondary even more makes it sound like they were exposed over and over again last year, which wasn't really the case and certainly shouldn't be the case this year. And then the last quote I want to pull from Athlon Sports, this one I feel a little bit differently about. It says a quote from an opposing coach. I love reading these. This is the number one reason I get the Athlon Sports magazine every single year is for these opposing coaches' quotes. And this quote says, they're recruiting the state of Texas at a different level. That's why Sonny's a success. He didn't waste that playoff run at all. They're probably the best brand in the league moving forward. Baylor fans, cover your ears. Oklahoma State fans, cover your ears, because they're not going to want to hear that. But I think I agree in that sense of that playoff run may have reawakened TCU's recruiting prowess, because they're very good under Gary Patterson, very good at recruiting high-level players and turning them into absolute monsters. And that took kind of a dip, and I think that's why we saw Gary exit. But do you agree with that assessment? And if so, or if not, I should say, do you agree more with the concerns for the team or the praises for the team?
Ooh, that's a good question. I agree with the praise for the team. I think Sonny Dykes has done an absolutely amazing job of capitalizing on a season that was, I mean, obviously an incredible season. And we're starting to see that with high school recruiting. But most importantly for this year, I think the transfer class that he brought in was, you know, really, really impressive and addressed a lot of needs. I already mentioned the receiver room, you know, JoJo Earl, JP Richardson, Jack Beck from LSU, and then the offensive line. You talked about Tommy Brockermeyer, Willis Patrick. I just think that high school recruiting is on the way up, as well as transfer recruiting, which now may even be more important in today's college football. So yeah, I think that Sonny's done an amazing job of not letting this season kind of go to waste.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting that you bring up almost a three-pronged approach to recruiting, because, you know, when we say the word recruiting, people generally default to just high school recruiting, but you're recruiting high school, you're recruiting in the transfer portal. It's not just, you know, players just pick. It's a whole new thing. And then you're also recruiting your own players to stay anymore. So the whole Absolutely. Recruiting operation has blown up to such a wide spanning word there that, yeah, I think TCU is doing a terrific job in recruiting. And just because they might not have the number one high school recruiting class in the Big 12 doesn't mean that they're not doing a terrific job recruiting these existing transfers and their own players to be able to stay. I want to move on to the next magazine. My personal favorite magazine. I do not stand alone in this because it is the book experts cannot do without. Is what is plastered on the front of it. That's Phil Steele's magazine. It's jam packed. There is a ridiculous amount of information, almost information overload, to the point where he acknowledges up front. He's like, if you like full sentences, if you like grammar, if you don't like abbreviations, this is not for you. This isn't going to make any sense. It's a great, great tool once you get used to it. He doesn't project win-loss records, but he projects yardage and points allowed and all these things and standings. And he, again, he puts TCU fourth in the Big 12, 23rd in his national power poll. To me, that feels right. That's where my numbers are. I'm a stats nerd. I ruin football with numbers. That's about where I have TCU. But where's your temperature? Do you think 23 is potentially too low?
First, I would like to say that I love Phil Steele. I get it every year, so it's probably the one that I, you know, take most with going into the season. I love what he does. But anyway, I think 23rd is pretty good. You know, TCU fans may not love that just because of what the team was able to do last year, but you know, they lost some talent. You have Chandler Morris, who again is a bit of a question mark. I think 23rd is really, really a solid spot for TCU. And I also think that fourth, which seems to be consensus in these magazines, fourth in the Big 12, I think that's pretty spot on as well.
Yeah, it is consensus. At least these three all project them between or behind, I should say, Texas, Kansas State, and Oklahoma in any sort of order. You know, we'll dive more into that into the next section. But he ranks TCU's wide receiver room third in the Big 12, linebacker room third in the Big 12, and number one defensive back, as I mentioned. I think that is the key. And I think a lot of these preview magazines are really high on TCU's defense, which is really nice. This might be a very different looking team from last year, where it was the Max Duggan show and the Quentin Johnson show and the Kendre Miller show, and they're scoring 40 points in these shootouts and comebacks. And I'm not sure we're going to see that this year. I think we might see a little bit more methodical approach under Chandler Morris. You know, you're still going to have those flash plays because you have a lot of big time playmakers, but I think it's going to be a lot of defense, a lot of stops. And you see that when you're starting to look at these all Big 12 projected teams from Phil Steele and Dave Campbell Texas Football. Phil Steele puts Dominic Williams, that is my Cleveland accent coming through there. Josh Newton and Griffin Kell all in the first team Big 12. That seems to be a consensus among the media, the preview magazines. I think those are great players. We'll dive into the Dave Campbell Texas Football one soon because they did the All Texas and there's a few more guys on there. Phil Steele also points out that this is a way tougher schedule. He calls it the most underrated schedule in the country, 64 spots above where, if you look at just their last year's win percentage, opponent's win percentage, that he actually sees these projections 64 points higher. So TCU's playing a tough schedule. So, you know, that's a reason for regression. 23rd doesn't necessarily mean that they're going 7-5 and sneaking in the back of the AP top 25. That means that they would be, I guess not to get too much into the weeds, favored in games over all but 22 teams in the country. There's 133 of those now with two new additions. If you're telling me that there's only 22 teams that are projected to be, I guess, more talented, quote unquote, I think that's pretty good. So I like his projection there. I agree with him. He also projects 34.9 points per game. That is the third most in the Big 12, and 26.4 points allowed. That's tied for sixth. Like I said, we might see a little bit more of a defensive progression. So just overall, what did you think of his offensive numbers, his defensive numbers? Is there anything in there that you're kind of like, I didn't think of that way? Or did you think of, you know, I think he might miss the mark there?
No, I think he did a pretty good job. I love the three. You know, if I had to choose three guys to land on all Big 12, I think I would choose Dominic Williams, Josh Newton, and Griffin Kell. I think those three guys have the best chance. And I do think that, I mean, I was looking at the schedule before we got on, and it is tough. It's pretty favorable to start, but the back half of it is tough. And I think that is, I mean, I think the way he explains how the schedule is underrated is pretty much spot on. So another thing is, you talked a lot about how defense may be more of the It may be a more methodical type offensive game maybe not slower pace, but a more defensive minded game, maybe a little bit like the Gary Patterson era. I think that is another thing that I'm excited to see this year. He says, what did he say? 26.4 points allowed, which is tied six, which would be, I don't have the numbers on last year's defense, but I'm going to assume better than last year's defense. But yeah, I really do like Phil Steele. I think third ranked wide receiver room's good. Number three linebacker, number one defensive back. I think all those are pretty spot on and something that I would agree with.
Yeah, it is an improvement. They were 29.9 points per game allowed last year. Now that does factor in the Michigan game, which I'm sure, you know, as thrilling as the victory was, I don't think that's a game TCU fans want to replicate week in and week out, because that game was very much over in both directions multiple times. Probably took a couple of months off everyone's life watching that game. You can see I'm in Ohio, and mine too, because you see I'm born and raised Ohio State fan from Ohio, so watching Michigan lose and that was amazing, and there were multiple points where I'm like, they're not gonna lose, and you know, TCU did the TCU thing and pulled it off. So yeah, I would like to see, you know, 3.5 points per game fewer on the defensive side. That's a dramatic improvement. That would move them up from 89th last year to 57th. Not bad. That's you know, 30-40 spot swing. So and just to, I guess, to expound a little bit on the underrated schedule, you're looking at teams like Colorado, who should, I mean, God forbid, they cannot take a step back. They were the worst team in the FBS last year. They're going to take a massive step forward, even if that's not into good territory. You're also looking at Iowa State, that really underperformed last year, that should improve this year, even if it's only by a game or two. So that's what he means by underrated, and that these teams were really terrible last year. So if you look at 1-11 Colorado, that's probably not where you're getting this year. And that's where their underrated schedule comes from. But yeah, let's move on to the final one, the one that you're most familiar with, Dave Campbell, Texas football. They ranked TCU second in the state of Texas, which I thought was very interesting, only behind UT. Okay. They are ahead of Texas A&M, which Dave Campbell's outlook for Texas A&M is surprisingly low. I tend to agree more with that surprisingly low, because I've known what to get from the Aggies, and I think they hired a powder keg in Bobby Petrino onto their coaching staff. But in terms of just like pure power and record, it is very off from what everybody else, even Phil Steele, is projecting. Now, I'm not projecting them to go 10-2 or anything like that, but yeah, to have them as low as they do is interesting. Again, they put TCU fourth overall in the Big 12, 8-4, 5-4 in conference, predicted record seems to be a general consensus. You mentioned that the back part of their schedule is brutal. I agree with you, and so does Dave Campbell's projections here, because they have them going 1-4 down the stretch of their last five games. And you see that in the Big 12 all the time. Oklahoma State fell apart at the end of the year. You know, all these teams that were doing well, Kansas started off really hot, fell apart at the end of the year. North Carolina and the ACC did the same thing. So every year some team does it, and a backloaded schedule like the one that TCU has may be a cause for tripping up. They are at Kansas State, at Texas Tech, home against Texas, home against Baylor, at Oklahoma. Assuming Oklahoma's not another 6-6 team, which I wouldn't bet my money on that they would be, you know, that's going to be a tough game. Again, he has Dominic Williams. Johnny Hodges comes up onto the All-Texas team here. They had a great, great write-up on Johnny Hodges, by the way, about the depths in which he fell to at the Naval Academy, and you know how he fought back and kind of refound himself here in TCU. It's an awesome story. I definitely would recommend picking up this copy just to read that. But Dominic Williams, Johnny Hodges, Josh Newton, Andrew Coker on the offensive line also makes it to the All Texas team, and Griffin Kell, of course. So they're projecting a pretty studded roster here. But of these magazines, I think I might know your answer. You may have alluded to it. But of these magazines, which of these sources is your favorite? It doesn't have to be the one you think is the most accurate. Just which one do you enjoy reading the most?
My favorite is Dave Campbell's Texas Football. I'm probably biased because I did get to work with them last summer. And I do really like, I mean, again, I really like kind of where TCU is. I think fourth in the Big 12. I mean, you said it is the consensus with these three. And then second behind only Texas in the state of Texas, I personally am a fan of that. I try not to let my Texas A&M anti-bias get in the way. But I tend to agree with that. I like that prediction. So I guess the answer to your question is Dave Campbell. That's one that I've gotten for, I don't know, 7 years straight now.
Yeah. Are there any specific projections that you look the most forward to, possibly? Maybe not necessarily your favorite magazine, but the projections where you're like, you know, this may confirm my priors or tear down my priors or whatever that you really look forward to.
That would be Phil Steele for me. I think that's kind of the magazine for like nerds, like the college football nerds, the number like of guys. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Like us. That's kind of the one where, you know, you can read that for hours and continue. I mean, you can read that for days, really. So that's kind of the one that I, you know, when I'm curious about where's TCU going to be, where's Mizzou going to be, that's the one I go look at to figure out, you know, how accurate, you know, I can make a guess at the schedule. I look at Phil Steele.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Phil Steele is kind of one where I'll run my numbers in the off season, and then when I get the Phil Steele magazine, I always love comparing because if I see something that I'm like way off on, like I started off with Florida State over Clemson. Then I did a little bit of reading into what Phil Steele projects, and I'm like, I'm overthinking this. It's Clemson. And so I bumped Clemson up. So I love comparing, contrasting. Now, I do have TCU third. I actually do have them over Kansas State. I have them for 8.5 wins. You can go back and listen to our win totals episode that I did with Barry Lewis about why I think that way. But I have TCU for the third most wins here in the Big 12 conference. I like their schedule. I think that they can steal one or two of those games at the end of the year. But that's kind of the rundown on how TCU fares in these. I did want to touch quickly on the rest of the Big 12. The consensus Big 12 favorite is Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have that conversation about Texas because this grinds people's gears. It gets their feathers in a ruffle that every year it's Texas, but they always underproduce. This year, I think it might be Texas. What do you think?
I think that there's no team in the country who ruffles people's feathers like Texas, preseason Texas.
Yeah, 100%.
But I am going to agree that I do think this might be the year where we see a really good Texas team again. I love Quinn Ewers. I think that he, you know, people kind of look at last year. I mean, he was hurt. He was hurt a couple times. You know, his offensive line wasn't as good as it's going to be. I really like Texas. I think this is the year for Texas to make a step.
Yeah, it's not my term. I did not make this up. This is something that a lot of coaches use. They're the ultimate get off the bus team. When they get off the bus, you look at them and say, holy smokes. And then, you know, they almost upend Alabama. But then something trips them up and they lose to Texas Tech, right? It's just, I don't know if it's a cultural problem. I don't know what it is. Everyone seems to know it because when I posted my top 25, I had plenty of people being like, when are we going to stop putting Texas in the top 10? Not this year because they're freaking loaded. If you look at their roster, they're absolutely loaded. Now, does that mean that they can't or won't fail expectations? Sure. I mean, we see it with them. We see it with A&M. We see it with a lot of teams every year. Miami's one of those, you know, perennial ones. Nebraska sometimes. But I don't know. I don't know how you look at this team with any sort of background information or look at their roster, know what you're looking at and objectively say, no, I don't think they're going to be very good. So I see why they're the consensus Big 12 favorite. That is going to make a lot of people mad. But you know what? I'll die in the hill again. I will. This won't be the last time or the first time that I have or do. Okay. So Dave Campbell, Texas football has Kansas State second. The other two have Kansas State third. I think that's interesting. As we mentioned, TCU is the consensus fourth. And then Phil Steele actually favors Baylor over Texas Tech, which is not in the other ones there. It seems like Texas Tech is kind of the favorite to be number five. Are you surprised by any of those in kind of that middle group?
Yeah, I think The one that surprises me is Phil Steele's projection of Baylor over Texas Tech. I think that Texas Tech has a chance to kind of make some noise in the Big 12 this year. And I don't know that Baylor, I mean, I don't know that Baylor has that same chance. I think that Joey McGuire, I mean, he's done a really good job there. And I think it's time for them to make a step. I think that the quarterback battle is interesting, but regardless of who they have, I think that they're talented enough, whether they throw out Baron Morton or whether they throw out Tyler Shug, I think they're talented enough to be a top four, top five team in the Big 12. Thanks to just the talent on that offense. And so I would say that that's a little surprising to me. I think that, let me see, was it Kansas State at two?
Yeah. Yep. Over yeah. Oklahoma.
Kansas State at two. I don't have much of a problem with that. I think I would even probably put Kansas State at two over Oklahoma. I just need to see Oklahoma. Obviously, they had a down year, and it's unfair to judge them just based on that one year because they've been so great for like 75 years consistently. Yeah. So it is unfair to give up on Oklahoma for one year, but I do think I need to see it, especially considering Kansas State was the Big 12 champion and they're bringing a lot of guys back. So I would agree with Dave Campbell's that Kansas State two over Oklahoma. I like that.
Yeah. I want to talk about Texas Tech really quick because they were my darling team last year. They were my nobody's paying attention to these guys. I think they're going to be a lot better than they are. Zach Kittley is currently my favorite coach in the entirety of the NCAA. I love his system. You saw Ben Arbuckle, his underling, I guess, turn another kid down in there in Western Kentucky into a 4,700-yard passer. So I love that system. Yep. By the way, watch Washington State this year. Ben Arbuckle went over to Washington State. Their transfer quarterback from last year from UIW that did not live up to expectations now has Zach Kittley's system in his pocket. I'm just warning people about that in advance. Unfortunately, for me, I'm kind of sad because the cat's out of the bag about Texas Tech. They beat up on Ole Miss in the bowl, and now everyone's like, watch out for Texas Tech. And I was like, darn it, this was a lot of fun being the only one last year. Unfortunately, I still lost a $50 bet with one of our writers because I said Texas Tech would finish over TCU in the Big 12. Now, I wasn't totally wrong about Texas Tech being good, but, I misfired on TCU going, undefeated in the Big 12 regular season. Whatever. It's fine. Cats out of the bag with Texas Tech. I'm really excited for them. Baylor, I just think Blake Chapin's a little bit too, I don't even know what it's called, chaotic. He turns the ball over way too much in seriously unopportune times. They had a win against West Virginia sealed, signed, delivered, except that he fumbled a ball that they picked up returned for a touchdown, and then that game changed entirely. And, so I can't trust Blake Chapin. I need to see it as well. Just like you with Oklahoma, I need to see it with Baylor. So, two kind of teams that were off market. Maybe that's not the right word for it, but Athlon really buys the Kansas hype because they put them sixth. And I had to double check and be like, Kansas? We didn't mean to put like Kansas State here. No, they have Kansas there. For reference, Phil Steele has them ninth. Dave Campbell has them 10th. I actually have them last. I think last year was a huge fluke. There's a lot. I like Lance Leipold as a coach. There's a lot of bounces that went their way, and they had to score 35 points to win. Are you surprised by where Kansas is?
Yes. Yes, I am. And I'm going to put my Mizzou stuff to the side here so we can have an honest conversation about Kansas. I do really, really, really like Jalen Daniels, but I don't think he can just do it on his own.
No.
And he kind of, I mean, he didn't do it on his own last year, but when he went down, it was so different. It was so different. So six is pretty high. I think that their program is heading in the right direction. I do think Lance Leipold is one of the better head coaches in the country. But six is a little bit ambitious, especially for a team that has no defense. I mean, I cannot put a team without a at least competent defense sixth in the Big 12. That's just not going to work.
They went 6-7 last year while giving up the fifth most points in the country. Mm-hmm. We all know they started off really well. They got ranked, which was awesome. And then they went 1-7 to finish the year. giving up 38 points, 52, 35, 16 in their win against Oklahoma State that have fallen apart, 43, 55, 47, and 55 to close the year. Sorry if I don't buy that. I know everything's coming back for Kansas again. I like their coaching staff. I like their quarterback. Their running back's very good as well. I cannot, like you said, I cannot in good all conscience put them six in the Big 12.
No chance.
No. And then the other one too is BYU, which I'm going to call out Dave Campbell here because that publication puts them sixth. I don't know if there's just like this affinity for putting a wild card six in the Big 12. Maybe there is. You know, this conference could be a bunch of teams that are all 3-5 at the end of the year. And, you know, difference between 6th and 12th is half a game or whatever. Phil Steele and Athlon both put them 11th. I have them 13th, personally. I think they're in for a very tough year. Doesn't mean that they're going to finish 13th because West Virginia and Iowa State have a lot harder schedules. But they power ranked them as the 6th best team in the Big 12, BYU. What are your thoughts on that?
Again, a little bit ambitious. I like Keaton Slovis. I think he could be exciting at BYU, excuse me, just because they usually have an exciting offense. And I don't think, again, I don't really think offense will be the issue for BYU. I think that they have some guys on offense. They have, I mentioned Slovis and then Aiden Robbins.
I love that portal land for them. I love Aiden Robbins. Great player.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think BYU is kind of going to be a team that fits right in with the Big 12 narrative of they're going to run fast. They're going to score points, but I don't know if they have the defense to win enough games to warrant a sixth place finish. I just don't think that's realistic, similar to Kansas. But I do think BYU has a potential to be kind of one of those fun teams that you want to have on the TV. So that's kind of where I am at BYU.
Yeah, I'm actually going to disagree with you for the first time all podcast. We've been kind of on the same page. I actually don't like Keaton Slovis personally. That's just my assessment of him. Doesn't mean I'm right. But that's why I have them 13th, because I don't think he's terrific. I don't think he's as good as Jaren Hall. Definitely not as good as Zach Wilson was, as much as we forget, because he's been so bad in the NFL. He was outstanding in college. So I don't know. The quarterback weighs a lot for my assessment of these teams. I don't buy into Baylor that much because I don't love their quarterback. I don't buy into BYU because I don't love their quarterback. I don't buy into Kansas because I do like their quarterback, but the rest of the team stinks. So, do you have any thoughts of a team that might be a bit overrated? And I don't mean Kansas at six. I don't mean BYU at six, but just kind of the general temperature on these teams. Are there any that you think might be overrated?
Well, just for me personally, I mentioned it earlier. I don't think it's so much that they're overrated. I just think I need to see Oklahoma be back and be Oklahoma again. It was a terrible year, and it was really tough to watch at times. I know Gabriel was hurt, but I don't want to say Oklahoma's overrated because they have been. I mean, they've been that program for so many years, but. Another one I would say, especially if we're going to put, I mean, I know Phil Steele put them over Texas Tech. I might say Baylor, just because similarly to you, I'm not so sure about Blake Shapen. I like Dave Aranda, but I guess I got to see Blake Shapen have a year of consistency, a year of good football. So I would say Baylor if I had to pick one team for kind of overrated, although I do think they could be a team that does finish above Tech, but I don't see that being super realistic.
And how about a team that might be underrated in these preview magazines?
Let me see. I think that I'm kind of excited about UCF.
Yes!
there you go. I've always kind of liked, I mean, I think John Rhys Plumlee is just he's just an electric guy to watch. Like when I think of a fun college football quarterback, that's kind of the guy I think of. You have the quarterback, you have kind of running back by committee, a couple guys, RJ Harvey, DeMarcus Bowman. I think those guys are both going to be able to carry the load at running back. And then the thing that I really love about UCF is kind of the underrated offensive line. I think that Marcellus Marshall, the get from Kent State, one of the biggest gets in the portal for me. So I just think UCF will be exciting. Gus Malzahn, you know, it'll be a fun team, I think. Whether or not they win a ton of games, I don't know. I personally believe that they will win some games, but I think that UCF's kind of that underrated. We're not talking about them enough in the Big 12.
I'm with you. Yeah, UCF is my Big 12 darling this year. They're my Texas Tech of this year. I think they're great. I think they have a nice pathway. I actually even put like a long shot bet in on them to win the Big 12. Again, I'm not projecting them to win the Big 12, but I think they're really good. And having Gus Malzahn at head coach, you know, he's experienced in the SEC. So he's a coach that can bring them, I think, transition them the best into a Power 5 conference. And you mentioned the offensive lineman from Kent State that they landed. Kent State lost their entire coaching staff. They dispersed everywhere. Sean Lewis went over to coach with Deion Sanders in Colorado. And then all of a sudden, all their players transferred to Power 5. Their quarterback went to UCLA. Both of their wide receivers went to Penn State and North Carolina. Their offensive tackle went to UCF. How did this team not win 10 games last year? It was just a roster loaded in the MAC with Power 5 talent. But yeah, and to kind of wrap this whole conversation up, there's no real consensus in last place. Athlon and Dave Campbell, Texas Football, says West Virginia. I tend to agree with that. I think West Virginia could just fall apart a few weeks into the season. I think Neil Brown's going to be on his way out pretty early, maybe by mid-October. Phil Steele has Cincinnati and Houston tied for last, which I've seen a lot of pessimism about those two teams. I kind of get it. I kind of don't. I think Cincinnati might be okay, not great. But that's just kind of bringing it up in the rear. If you had to pick a team for last place, pick on somebody. Who do you think it'll be?
Yeah, I hate to just join in, but I just, there's not much about West Virginia that's getting me too excited this year. Like you can look at Big 12 rosters across the conference and find like one or two things that you're like, okay, maybe this happens. And, you know, like for Kansas, it's their quarterback. I don't know. There's not a lot at West Virginia right now that I'm excited about at all. It's kind of a boring pick just because it seems like a lot of people are picking them, but I think that is for good reason. There's just not a ton there that excites me.
Yeah, and coaches agree with you when you said they look at the roster, because this is a direct quote from Athlon Sports from an opposing Big 12 coach. This might be the worst roster in the league. That's pretty cut and dry.
There you go.
they said that they have some talent, but they're not physical at all. This isn't a physical team, which is very strange for West Virginia. That's usually their MO. I always bring up the TCU game that I saw in 2021 when they hosted West Virginia and were supposed to beat them, and West Virginia went up there and punched them square in the mouth. They controlled the line of scrimmage. They were physical. They were tough. And they beat the crap out of them. And I guess that's just not this team this year. So, yeah, it's a boring pick. But you know what? Sometimes the consensus is a consensus for a reason. So, But thanks, everyone, for tuning in again to the Killer Frogs Killer Minute College Football Podcast. You can find us at killerfrogs.com, on Twitter, at Killer Frogs. I'm at Road to CFB. You can find Davis at Davis_Wilson41. And continue the conversation over on Facebook. Join in on the comment section, piling on me about my Texas pick. It's the common thing to do. It's fine. It's low-hanging fruit. But if you liked what you heard, please subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you use. Drop us a review, because that's going to be the best way that we can grow and reach more college football fans, more TCU fans, more Big 12 fans. And check back next week for another episode of the Killer Frogs College Football Podcast. I'm Brett Gibbons. That's Davis Wilson. And we'll catch you all next time.